start this schmooze with a maisa. Hayiku Rabba Park Lamed Dalid Halacha Yud Dalid brings down a maisa with Rebbe Tanhuma. This is the Rebbe Tanhuma from the Medrash, as in Medrash Tanhuma. Rebbe Tanhuma was a rov of a certain city. Bnei Yisrael needed rain in that city, and they weren't getting any rain, and it was terrible for them. Things were going badly. So he made a tinus once, nothing happened. He made a tinus a second time, nothing happened. It was still sunny outside, no rain, everything was going badly. So the third time, he told everybody, you gotta give tzedakah. Everyone should get up and they should give tzedakah. We're not only fasting, we're not only praying, we're not only doing that, everybody has to get up and give tzedakah to whoever they can, and anybody you can find, anyone you can give tzedakah to, go and give it. So that third time around, there was a man who was giving away as much tzedakah as he could, meaning just giving money to this person, that person, anyone he found, he went and he gave a little bit of tzedakah to. So eventually he came to, you know, a certain person, recognized her, realized it was his ex-wife. And his ex-wife said to him, please give me some money. She said, halakhically, I'm not allowed to give you any money. Luckily, I'm not supposed to give you anything. I mean, aside from the fact that we're divorced, you're not allowed to, you know, have any connection with your divorcees. I'm not going to give you any money. I would assume that it wasn't an amicable breakup. I assume that they weren't good with one another when they left each other. But she said, you're having pity on everybody else. At least have pity on me. I was your wife at one point. Have a little bit of pity on me and at least give me something. And he realized, you know what? She's right. He was over on his mida that he didn't want to give over, and he decided to himself, I'm going to give you, and he gave her a nice amount of money. Now a man saw this, did not see the first part of the conversation or hear the first part of the conversation. All he saw was a man giving his ex-wife a large amount of money. And he ran over to Rebbe Tanhuma and he said, Rebbe, you're sitting here, but there's averus going on in your city. There's huge averus going on in your city. He said, what are you talking about? What are you referring to? He said, Rebbe, I just saw a man give to his ex-wife a large amount of money. There's no way that he was giving that large amount of money unless it was for a reason. It must be that he was trying to cover something up. Something happened. He must have done something with her. He must have done an avera. And maybe that's the reason why it didn't rain. So Rebbe Tanhuma called in this man and asked him, what happened? How are you giving a large amount of money to your ex-wife? Why is that? Why did you allow that to happen? So he told him the whole story, and Rebbe Tanhuma obviously said, I see, obviously, this is a maisa that has to be looked at. He reached his face, Rebbe Tanhuma looked up heavenward, put his arms up, whatever you want to say, and said, Ribono Shel, this man who saw this lady and had pity on her and had rachamim on her, even though he wasn't supposed to give her money, but he had rachamim and couldn't hold himself back and gave her money, how can you not have rachamim on us? Even though we do bad things to you, and even though you want to get rid of us, or we want to get rid of you, I guess you should say, nonetheless, how can it be that you don't have rachamim on us? And immediately, as soon as Rebbe Tanhuma said that, the rain started to fall. That's what the Medrash says. Rechaim Shmulevitz, in his Sefer Sichos Moser, brings this maisa and points out, he says, the tefillos didn't work. His tefillos, I mean, this is Rebbe Tanhuma. We're not talking about a stama person or a rabbi in the middle of nowhere. This is Rebbe Tanhuma. Rebbe Tanhuma did not have tefillos that worked. His tinios didn't do anything. It did absolutely nothing to bring rain. What did bring rain? Says Reb Chaim, it's shviras amidos. That's why the Medrash is bringing down this maisa. Breaking a mida that you know you have and you know it's impossible to get over. Breaking a mida that you need to work on. That's what allows you to bring down the rain. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, and this is a famous quote, that it's easier to learn all of Shas than to break one midah that you're used to. To take one character trait, one habit that you have and break it, it's easier to learn all of Shas together. Now to put this in a more of a contemporary, our world style, for those who chew, let's say you bite your nails, or for those that have a nervous twitch, or something like that, trying to stop yourself from doing those things, even if maybe you can do so for Shabbos, but even smoking or whatever it is, to stop yourself from doing something which you're so used to, that's so habitual, it's part of your whole system, is almost impossible. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is saying, forget about those. Even, I know those are hard. And for sure those are extremely hard to be able to do. But breaking a mida, if you're a bal gaiva, to break your gaiva. To be able to be a person who's a kamsan and doesn't want to give money to other people, to be able to break your kamsan tzedakah and to be able to give tzedakah. To be able to say to yourself that I'm going to be nice to a person who's been extremely difficult, to a person who's been very mean, and a person who really doesn't deserve it. To be able to get up and say that, there's nothing harder than that. Nothing harder, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the line that you have to use for that is, if it's true that it's so hard to do, that it's impossible to like, look, it's easier to learn shas than it is to do that, then I'll tell you, then it must be that the schar, the reward for doing such a thing, must be unbelievably great. To break a mida, to break a habit that you're so used to doing, must be so unbelievably great that it can allow rain to come when nothing else works. To give another maisa. Sukkah, Memheim, and Beis, from Shimon Bar Yochai, it's not really a maisa, I guess this one, said, I could pasur the whole world from midas hadin. I could make sure that there are no punishments in the entire world from when I was created until I die. I can make sure that no one in my generation will ever be punished. That's what I could do, says Shimon Bar Yochai. If I was by myself, that's what I'd be able to do. And if you add on Yosam, the king of Klal Yisrael, you add on Yosam to the mix, the son of Uziah, you add on him from Malchus Yudah, then it could posture the whole world from Din, from the beginning of time until the end of time. I would be able to argue to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Midas HaDin should not be showing, nothing bad should happen, that there should be only good in this world, and good that we can see, not just only good that sometimes seems bad to us, but only good in the world, if I add on Yosam. No, Yosam. Who is Yosam? What did Yosam do? Yosam is not known as a tremendous king. This is not Hizkiyo HaMelech, or Shlomo HaMelech, or David HaMelech. This is not even Sidkia or Yoshia. Who in the world is Yosam? You know who Yosam is? Yosam became king when his father, Uziah, went into some say Azariah. Uziah and Azariah are the same person, but Uziah or Azariah went into the Beis HaMikdash and claimed that since he was the king, he makes decisions, he's going to be the Kohen Gadol. So he went into the Kodesh, wore the big day Kuna Gidola, and was ready to serve and to be Makrib Korbanos on the Mizbeach, when immediately the Kohanim started arguing with him. Tzorat sprouted out on Uziah, Azariah's forehead, and he no longer, not only could he not serve in the Beis HaMikdash because he had Tzorat on his head, he was Tameh. Not only that, but he was chased out of the Beis HaMikdash and was no longer able to become king. So even though his father was still alive, Yosam ended up becoming the king. Yosam was the king of Klal Yisrael. The whole time while his father was alive, Yosam refused to put the crown on his head. He refused to allow the cover of being the king to affect him. He wouldn't put a crown on his head. The whole time he was alive, any case that he judged, Yosam would quote his father, and he would say, my father would say the following. This is what my father would do if he was in my position right now. And only after his father died did Yosam put the crown on his head and quote himself when he was paskening halakos. That's what he would do. Do you see what Yosam was? Yosam broke one mida. That's all he did. Nothing else in Yosam's life is exemplary in that way, or enough so that Chazal feel the need to tell us about him. One thing he did, he broke a crazy mida of gavod. He was able to knock down his mida of honor and say to himself, I'm not going to take that honor. And look at where he became. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that with his schus, he could pass to the whole world from din. The whole world. Because of one broken mida. That's it. Everybody knows this maisa with Rabbi Preda, Erevin, and Nundal and Amabez. Where Rabbi Preda was teaching his students, and he told them, I'm going to have to teach you quickly because I have to go after this. Right? And he taught him not once. And he saw the Talmud didn't get it. He said, alright, I'll go over it again. And he saw the Talmud didn't get it again. And he said to him, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, ever since he told me that you were leaving, I couldn't pay attention. I'm spacing out. I can't get what you're saying right now. So we prayed to sat down with them and taught it to them 400 times. Some say the way to learn the Gemara is 800 times. That he taught it to them. I just want you to think about this. 400 times. 400 times. So when we prayed to finish doing that, a bas kol came down from Shemayim and said, Rabbi Preda, you have a choice. You can either have one of two things. You can live to the age of 400. You can have 400 years on this earth. Or you could be blessed that your entire generation will be zocha to chai olam haba. That your whole generation will get olam haba. And Rabbi Preda chose olam haba for his generation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, give him both. And he lived to 400, and he got it for his whole generation. Okay, that's what ended up happening with Rabbi Preda. Now, I'm just... Reb Chaim says this, and I just want to add on to it a little bit. Come on. Who would do that? Why is that not Bittul's mind? How are you not wasting your time 400 times to a student who's clearly not paying attention? I'm surprised he didn't just get up and say, well, next time pay attention. And that he would be right to do that. He would have every right in the world to be able to say to a student, I'm sorry, but this is your fault, not mine. I have to go, so I'm going to get up and go. And not only that, but he told them 400 times. 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. 400 times is a number that's so ridiculous, it's there. And if you tell me, well, maybe it's an exaggeration. 300 times might be an exaggeration. 300 is used all over Shas as an exaggeration. 400 is not used as an exaggeration. The number 400 is Dafka. He taught him 400 times, and according to one version, the way to learn the Gemara, if you learn it correctly, is 800 times. He taught him 400 times, he didn't get it. So he taught him another 400 times. And he sat there, and he went over it again and again and again. The same exact lesson, and the guy's just like, I'm just not paying attention. What is he doing? Because Reb Breda did one thing. He broke his midah. He didn't want to. He knew he didn't want to. And he knew he had somewhere to go. But he also knew what shviras of midas is. And he knew his midah at that time was to get angry. And he refused to get angry. He refused to be indignant. He refused to say anything to the Talmud. He didn't even blame the Talmud. He said, it's my fault. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. And said it over 400 times. That shviras of midas, that ability to break that habit, that Reb Breda gave, look what it gave to the entire world. It's an amazing concept that he was willing to be able to do such a thing. Avimi forgot all of his learning. This happens three times, I think, that I remember in Gemara, where there's a great, great Rebbe who forgot all of his learning. Or you see this Rebbe, also in Aruch, Rebbe Yosef, they forgot their learning. So Avimi, the Gemara says, forgot all of his learning to Menachos. And he went to his Talmud Reb Chisda to remember his learning. Went over to his Talmud Reb Chisda and asked Reb Chisda to go over his learning with him so that he could remember what he had learned. So the Gemara asks, why not send Reb Chisda to yourself? Why would you, the Rebbe, go to the Talmud? You should send the Talmud to you. Tell the Talmud, listen, I need your help. I've been teaching up until now. Now come to me. So why not do it that way? And the Gemara answers, the line that Avimi uses is, Sover, he thought, Hakam Yistayim El Sotzvei. This is how it's going to work better. There's going to be more Siyata Deshmaya if I do it this way. So Avimi broke his Mida of Kavod. The concept would be that he allowed himself to say, I know that I can send the Talmud to me, and truthfully, it probably is better if the Talmud comes to me. But I know that I need Siyata Deshmaya here to remember my learning and get it all back. I need to do something. I need to work on myself. The only way it's going to happen is I break a midah of mine. I have to break this midah. I'm going to break my midah of kavod. And he went and he broke it, and that's the reason why he had Siyata Deshmaya to remember his learning. The Shlach Kadosh says, this is a famous line from the Shlach, the Arizal, that the Shlach is quoting, Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is the day that's like Purim. That's the concept of Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a hard day to sin. It really is at the end of the day. It's difficult to even not get up. Not for everybody, but it should be difficult for everyone to not get up. It's difficult to get into a fight with someone. What are you going to do? You're just in the base measures the whole time. Granted, there might be a little bit of something, maybe, like when you're in the dome for a little bit, but Yom Kippur is a time when you literally, it's almost nearly impossible to sin. There's no sinna, right? There's no kinna. There's no tachros, there's no fights that you have on this day. There's nothing like that. That doesn't exist. And when that doesn't exist, then you can break those midos. The normal hatred you have for a person, you feel differently on Yom Kippur. The normal jealousy you might have of somebody, the normal lack of kavod that you feel that person gives you, that can break on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you sit there and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a different person. I'm no longer going to let that guy affect me in any which way. And I forgive him for everything he might have done to me. Yom Kippur is a different day. See, on a day like that, when people get together, that's when you can have a day like Purim, where everyone got together and they had achdus and they felt like they were Nochen Zebazeh, and they were Mishloach Manos Lev Yonin, they get Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rehu, they gave Matanos Lev Yonin, and they worked together to bring up a whole group of Klal Yisrael, to cause that Achdus, to bring people together, to mamash feel like they're together. That's what Yom Kippur could be. The day of Yom Kippur could be like Purim. That could almost be like Kimu B'Kibu Kol Yudim, that we re-accept the Torah. You can make it that way. Yom Kippur is not like Purim of every year. Yom Kippur is like the original Purim, the way they learned that Arizal correctly. It's like the original Purim, the way we were then, the way we acted together. That's what Yom Kippur could be like. Breaking your midos is by far the greatest thing to get to. We all know that Yom Kippur is mechaper for Aveiros B'Nov L'Makom. We know that Yom Kippur is not mechaper for Aveiros B'Nov L'Chavero. Between me and a friend, I have to go up to my friend and ask him for mechila. And he has to ask me. There's no way for it to work otherwise. I cannot say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem, forgive me for what I did to Ploni. It doesn't work that way. I have to go up to him, I have to ask him, I have to say to him, will you forgive me because I feel bad. And he has to do the same to feel as Zaka works, but it's not the same if the guy won't come up to you. It's never the same. You want to get a Kapara, you need to go through there. It's a scary thought to think about how we have to literally break our midos, even though we know we were right. We know we did the right thing in that situation. We know we said and did what we were supposed to do, but nonetheless, shvirus midos. Go up to that person and say, I know I did something that I was wrong about, even if you feel it wasn't, and I feel terrible, and I have to work on it, please forgive me. There is nothing like shviras amidos when it comes to anything in Klal Yisrael. It can create Purim. It can create Achdus. It can allow for all of Klal Yisrael to be so powerful that this could be the year. That this could be the final year when Mashiach comes and we don't have to worry about anything at all. But only through shviras amidos. Only by breaking yourself. If you feel that somebody else is at fault, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. Look in a mirror and look at yourself and decide what you can do and then talk about other people. Because there is nothing that is the other person's fault that you had nothing to do with. Go stare in the mirror. Look at yourself. What can I do? How can I do something? Break that midah and bring yourself up a little bit. Use that Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara about whether or not you are going to get a Kapara. Work on yourself. Understand that there is a limitation. A small little limitation that if you don't have that mida broken and you feel like you need the kavod, you feel that you need the ability to be right, that you have to be right and not wrong, it's always about you, you're missing out on Yom Kippur. You're missing out on what could be if you're able to break that mida. Do it. Just work on it. Think about it. And like I said in Rosh Hashanah, you can't go into Yom Kippur without a plan, without preparation, without anything. Go in prepared. Think every night before you go to sleep. Go through your phone, down your list of names, everybody that's in your phone. Who do I need to ask? Who should I talk to? Who should I go up to and say, you know what, I never forgave you? Who should you say about that? Go through your phone and look through every single person and see, is there something you could work on? And if you can't find anybody, come to me. I guarantee you we can find something together. I guarantee we can find something. Let's work on it. Let's try to make it that Yom Kippur is a day in which we finally feel like we broke one mida. One mida, and it's broken, it's gone, and we don't have to worry about that anymore.